Hey, this is Wade. So, this week on Wade for Wireless, I want to talk about what is a mini macro. And it's just one of those things that we don't often understand yet because it's brand new. Although we do understand, it's the same thing, right? It's just packaged in a different box. And I'll get into that in a minute. First, I want to thank Tower Safety, towersafety.com, for sponsoring my blog. I'm always appreciative to my listeners and my sponsors and people who read it. Trust me, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Tower Safety. We're the best get better, and the training out in Arizona is for the tower climbers and for anyone wanting to learn OSHA, and they have online courses as well. So, what am I here to talk about today for you, the listener? And I think this is something that's up and coming. It's brand new, but what is a mini macro? Now, with Sprint's densification network, one of the things they talked about was a mini macro. And if you heard me talk in the past, Verizon Wireless does a lot of ODAS, right, where they have a C-RAN, which is a concentrated RAN. They have a BBU hotel where they have all the BBUs, and then they run out to the remote radio heads. And that's really the theory behind the ODAS, is that they have the remote radio heads out with the antennas, they got the power, and they can actually put the signal out where the people are, right? So they actually have the radio head out there so people can use their phones, downloads. It's very controlled. And the technician just has to go to the BBU and he can check on, say, I'm going to hypothetically say a dozen sites at a time, probably three, four, up to a dozen. All depends who the OEM is and what they're capable of. So, along those same lines, I want to talk about the mini macro. And what the mini macro is, I talked about ODAS, what Verizon Wireless is, and what Sprint wants to do is something that SoftBank has done over in Japan. So what they did, a small cell, let's say, is roughly about 5 watts outdoor. Indoor, it's a lot less, quarter watt, maybe even less. Indoor, it's very concentrated, and it's a different setup, IDAS, indoor, whatever you want to do. But outdoor, mini macro is like a small cell in the fact that everything is self-contained, has a BBU, has the radio head, or the radio head connects to it, but it has the BBU, the router, the connection, everything right there. Then there's a front hall that would go to the BBU, that would go from the BBU to the remote radio head. And chances are, in a mini macro, the remote radio head would be in the same area. You know what I'm trying to say? If it's on a monopole, the cabinet would be at the bottom with all the equipment in it and the brains and everything and connected to the back hall. Remote radio head would be up where the antenna is, on top of a pole. On a building top, it'd be the same way. Wherever the antenna is, the remote radio head is. Then there's a fiber and power, a HyperFlex cable that goes back to the BBU. Okay, so what's a mini macro? Here's what I'm going to go over it real quick. It's going to look like a single sector cell site. I had to say it slow because I wanted to get it right. Single sector cell site. And what you would do, let's say in this case, they would mount an Omni antenna or a panel. Could be either or. Depends what they want to cover. You know, it all comes down to coverage. And they would have, you know, the transmit and receive in this antenna. I don't know if they'd have a duplex or filter or whatever. But anyways, or if it's TDD, you know, they probably wouldn't need, they would just need the antenna. Whether it's, 2T, 2R, to transmit, to receive, you know, it's going to be MIMO in today's world. 4T, 4R, and they want to go as high as 8T, 8R, right? So that would be 8 connections. That'd be a MIMO with 8 connections for transmit and receive, which is really cool. Okay, so let's get into this. And the OEMs have to catch up to this. This isn't something that's out there for everybody. But the mini macro, you would have the antenna would be up there, Omni or panel. The remote radio head would be there, just one antenna, one remote radio head at this time. Remember, it's a single sector cell site. Then you would have your HyperFlex cable run down. I doubt they'd run RF. It'd probably be HyperFlex. You know, and HyperFlex cable, for those of you that don't know, what it is, it's fiber and it's copper together in one big cable, meaning you're going to have your fiber for your data, your transmit, probably one for your transmit, one for your receive, and you're going to have power to power the remote radio head. That's going to run down into the cabinet, probably to the BBU. So let's say everything runs down to the cabinet. If it's a building top, you would have your pipe mounted on, let's say, the elevator penthouse, and that would come down into your cabinet. Your cabinet's going to have your BBU in it. It's going to have your power supply, let's say, if you need it, or it's going to be powered. The BBU is going to power everything. It's going to have your router in it, and it's also going to have, you know, the router is going to connect to the backhaul. So the backhaul is going to be run to the cabinet, whether the backhaul is copper, fiber, or wireless. It's going to run right there to the cabinet. And let's see, I went over fiber and backhaul. I feel, oh, the batteries. You're going to have batteries if you have to have battery backup. You may or may not have it. I don't know. It's very expensive. Depends what you want. I know with Verizon Wireless, they try to put batteries in everything. I know with Sprint, they only put batteries where they need to in the most part. With AT&T, I think they try to put batteries in everything. The runtime may be a little different. So I know I'm going over a lot here, but just picture it as a tiny little cell site, bigger than a small cell and smaller than a macro site. So now where would you mount these? You could mount them on a utility pole if it were high enough. Now remember, when you're putting in the site, you're putting out, let's say, a higher power than a small cell. Small cell outdoor, like I said in the beginning, was about 5 watts. For a mini macro, I would imagine you'd want about 20 watts of output from the unit, from the radio head. So with 20 watts, if you're only going to go up 20 or 30 feet, you're going to, I mean, you would get building penetration, but you're going to want a little more than that. You're going to want to get the biggest bang for your buck as you can. Back in the days of paging, we would put paging transmitters out there. And when we would, I know this is old, probably no one can relate to this unless you're my age, but we would put transmitters out there, but we try to get enough height that we would cover everything, but you want to be low enough that you get building penetration. You want to penetrate the buildings. You want to get the best coverage you can. So I think 20 watts would be an ideal power. It's my opinion, you know. And what you would want to do is put it, I don't know if a utility pole would be good. So you'd want like a building top, maybe a monopole. You'd want it maybe 30 to 50 feet up, whereas a small cell is generally 15 to 20 feet up. You couldn't go on any utility pole because you have power zones. And it's very frustrating to put anything in the power zone, even an antenna. A power zone is where the electric utility has their power lines. You don't just climb up there and mount something there, right? You got to be very careful, and usually you have to get permission from the utility company to go up that high. Now, in the communication zones where the phone lines and the cable are, you're fine there, okay? I'm just pointing that out. So you have your smaller cabinet, preferably something around 50 pounds. Some of these, I don't know if you ever installed cell sites, some of these cabinets, the cabinets alone can weigh anywhere from 300 to 500 pounds. And trust me, ask anyone who's put them in, they literally weigh 300 to 500 pounds. We used to try to take those on dollies through the mud, through the stone. Loose stone, a dolly doesn't exactly work that well. It's heavy. It's heavy, man. Heavy. Just telling you. So anyway, I just want you to realize that you want to get it something light, okay? Your BBU, if you have batteries, batteries are going to be heavy, preferably a separate cabinet. So you have your cabinet with your BTS in it and with your router in it, and you can connect your backhaul up to it and all your cross-connect panels, and you're going to have your battery cabinet because that's going to be heavy. They haven't figured out how to make lightweight batteries that I know of yet. If they have, let me know. I think the Tesla is probably the closest that has come to making lightweight batteries. Elon Musk, he's always thinking. So here you go. Imagine a cabinet, preferably around 50 pounds, under 100 pounds. I've seen a lot of them that weigh, not a lot, but I've seen some proposed weights of 65 pounds, which I think is doable. It's just when you go out to install, don't expect one guy to heave up a 65-pound box and then mount it to a pole. You're probably going to need three guys, you know, two guys to, you know, hoof it up and a third guy to do it. Now, if you have a bucket truck and you can, you know, if you can lift it with the bucket and hold it there while the guys mount it to the pole, that's fine. Or if you have something prefab, or if you put the empty cabinet in and stock it while you're out there. But I wouldn't want to do that. No, honesty, what I would want, the ideal, in my eyes, this is in my world, Wade's world, in Wade's world, you would want everything pre-installed in these cabinets. Now, granted, you're going to be dealing with a 50 to a 65-pound cabinet, anything under 100 pounds, preferably, and it's going to take more manpower to install it. But if everything's installed, the closeout package should go easy. Like, all the serial numbers, all the part numbers should be for that cabinet. Now, I don't know if you guys remember the days of, like, the early installs. I'm going to use... I remember Nextel did a lot of this, but Nextel had everything kitted, and everyone does this. They kit it, right? And yet, for some reason, closeout packages are a nightmare, right? If it's kitted, the closeout package should go quickly and easily. So if you kit it properly, and when I say kit it, what they do at the warehouse, they put everything together, they make all the connections, and if you're really lucky, they power it up and test it to make sure it's correct, to make sure everything's working, connected, and talking to each other. That's the ideal situation. That's how it should be done. As much work should be done in the warehouse, so all the installers have to do is plug and play. Okay? That's the whole idea behind small cells. You test them in the warehouse, make sure they power up, you know, they're not DOA or anything. So when the installer gets out there, he doesn't drive 2 or 3 hours and try to install it and then play with it. Because you know when things don't work, you don't just replace it. You should, but you don't, right? You're limited on quantities of what you have. So you want to plug it in and you want to make sure it works. If something happens on the way out there, you know, you can't stop every failure. Anyway, I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but let's face it. If logistics is done properly and the testing is done in the warehouse, you're going to save a lot of time in the field. In the field is where a lot of the money and time is spent, okay? So the more preparation you can do up front, the better it is in the field. I didn't write all this in there. I probably should have. It just came to me while I was here talking about it. So the other thing. I was talking about height in the beginning, and you want to go on a building top, and you can try monopoles and things like that. And trust me, the thing about monopoles, and you guys probably know this, when cell companies were building up, before you had AT&T and Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile taking over everything, a lot of these carriers built these cheap monopoles, which is great. Oh, we saved all this money on CapEx up front. Meanwhile, first ice storm that came down here in the Northeast, a lot of those cheap monopoles folded, literally folded because they couldn't handle the ice on the cell array. It's just frustrating that when people take shortcuts up front because for whatever reason they don't care what happens on the back end. So I think that's something insurance companies look at. I think they look at what you installed. I think they're getting a little more savvy. So you're going to want a little bit of height. So if you're going to put a monopole out there or some type of pole, you're going to make sure it's sturdy enough to handle the weather conditions for that particular area. So what do you get with a mini macro? With a macro site, I looked into this. The average, let's say you cover on average, I found it in kilometers, 35 kilometers, which is about 21.5 miles, right, roughly. With a small cell, you cover about 2 kilometers, which is about 1.25 miles, okay? So I would think with a mini macro, you'd want to cover about 12 kilometers, which is about 7.5 miles. Now, if you think about it, 7.5 miles is ideal for most of these, for most of the coverage you want. And I see that with some of the larger carriers, that what they're doing to get more usage out of their spectrum, to get a bigger bang out of their spectrum, they're shrinking their cell sites anyway. And you think about how big your cell phone is. Back in the days when you had cell phones in cars, they were higher power units because you got more coverage. But today, because we're data centric and everyone wants as much bandwidth as they can possibly get, you want to shrink those cell sites down and you can handle the loading. You can handle more customers on each cell site. And suddenly your spectrum gets a bigger bang for its buck. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of money to put in a site, okay? You're shrinking those cell sites, you're paying for a new site, no matter what it is, especially if you have to put stealth sites in, which more and more municipalities are requiring. And I'm fine with that. At least they're letting the cell sites go in. So if you're going to shrink the coverage, and you can do it with this mini macro, it'd be very efficient, very cost-effective. In my eyes, I'm sure there's a downside, which is probably, again, loading, because now instead of having multiple remote radio heads there, you have one. You have one handling all the customers. So that 7.5 miles is probably a push of what you're really going to get, especially with the loading with all the people on it. In today's world of data-centric, especially when Volte takes over. I'm a big fan of LTE. Of course, by the time we get LTE rolled out for all these carriers, it'll be 5G will be up and coming. Then they'll have to budget for that. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, 5G is supposed to come out in 2020, at least the initial release. Now, with that said, so let's say 5G comes out in 2020, and I know I'm getting off topic here. I'll be right back quickly. But 5G comes out in 2020. The OEMs have to make it the way each carrier wants. It's going to take the carrier 6 months to a year to figure out what they want. They're not just going to throw 5G out there because they want more features. They want more value. And that's why the OEMs spend so much time trying to get all this in there. Now, you would think it would just be a pipe at this point, but it's actually a little more than that. It actually is they have features that they want to be able to pass through it. They have specific ways they want to install it. They have specific mechanical designs they want, and so on. You know, the list goes on. So there's really a lot more to it than just building a better pipe. They want more than just a pipe. They want value. They want features, and so on. All right. So Let's say you go out, you install this, and I just said, if all your logistics and all the warehouse work is done properly and you power it up and test it ahead of time, making sure everything's talking, let's say you have a routine that when it comes up that everything tests, you make sure it's going to work. You put it out there. In theory, you'd want the installation to be plug and play. A lot of small cells are coming up plug and play now, and that is the ideal situation, in my opinion. Not everyone feels that way. A lot of people want to configure it in the field for security purposes, but if it's plug and play and it knows what server to look for, so in theory, the installer could go out, plug in this mini macro. Soon as it connects to the backhaul, assuming you have a good working backhaul there, that's another thing you got to test. Soon as they plug in the backhaul and it comes up, I would assume it would go back to the server somewhere in the core, bam, start configuring itself. So maybe someone would have to commission the batteries and so on and do a little bit of site work. I'm hoping the installers can do it, or maybe when you go out with a team of two installers and maybe a commissioning engineer that could get it up and running quickly while he's on site. And what you could do, in theory, this is in my head, you could have them actually do the installation, bring it up, commission it quickly. All the commissioning should be, the cables should be made to plug quickly into each other. They should be prefab cables, in my opinion. Everything should be working, goes back to the server, starts config, integration takes place, firmware is updated. Then, as soon as the firmware is updated, it comes up. It's not live yet. You don't want to cause problems with the system because you have to build a neighbor list and make sure how it's coming up. But what you could do on a test ban is test it with your smart device, whatever device you have for that specific frequency band, whatever. The installers or the commissioning engineer should have that, and you could do a quick optimization. You could do upload and download tests, and then perhaps have the commissioning engineer do a walk test or a drive test, whatever it is you want to do. I would have drones do a test and fly around. Drones would be quick and easy, I think, if you're allowed to do it, if the AA approves it, and so on. So anyway, there you go. I know it's a long, drawn-out explanation. I went over a lot today, but I think you get the picture, right? This is something that's going to take off here in the U.S. eventually. It's going to be densification. I do see it being very popular because it's right in there between macro and small cells, and it surprises me the evolution has gone this way, but with small cells, very low power, very concentrated, and I know that with a like Alcatel-Lucent, they really concentrated on small cells, and they were way ahead of their time. And perhaps what they should have done is come out with a low-power BTS, which I thought they were going to do with the light radio, and come out with something small and efficient, low-power, that would go out there. And I'm not sure if that really happened. Now, Nokia, who is soon going to own Alcatel-Lucent, Nokia has done this. They were working with, my understanding is, they were working with SoftBank over in Japan. So they already, apparently, they know what the customer wants as far as hardware and equipment. I don't know who did the deployment or anything over there. I wish I did know. If anyone knows SoftBank really well, wadeforwireless@gmail.com, let me know. And I think it's a really cool idea. I think that's the way evolution should have went. Higher power to lower power to real low power. Because let's face it, small cells, real low power. For outdoor, talking outdoor here. Indoor, obviously, you have people, you're radiating, you want to be as low power as possible. All right, everyone, be smart, be safe, pay attention to what you're doing. And the mini macro, if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. I do a lot of research. And also, I am putting my wireless deployment book out. I'm going to focus it around small cells, C-RAN, and so on, all right, if you're interested. If you got any, if you have any questions or anything, you can either go to wadeforwireless.com or wadesarver.com/podcast, or you can just go to wadeforwireless@gmail.com and send me an email. Let me know. All right. Be smart. Be safe. See ya.